Heavenly Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus as we get into your word for a few minutes that you would open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law or thy word. Psalm 119, verse 18.
Jesus said seven things in the Gospel of John, the seven I Am's of Jesus. Number one, he's the bread of life. We see also next that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the door. Number four, Jesus is the good shepherd of his sheep. That's what we're going to talk about today. Also, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Number seven, Jesus is the true vine. So these are what we call the seven portraits of Jesus in the Gospel of John. So I want to encourage you to read the Gospel of John and focus in on the seven portraits of Jesus captured in the Gospel of John. So these seven portraits of Jesus in the Gospel of John are snapshots of who the Son of God is, and that's all by design so that you can understand the Lord Jesus, the one who saved you,
and walk with him.
So the first thing that the good shepherd of the sheep did was give his life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life blood to purchase his sheep. So Jesus, who created all that is, including us, came to the earth in order to teach us the way of his Father and ultimately die on the cross to purchase us to himself. So what you want to remember every time you're reading the Bible is that the Bible, God's Word, is full of illustrations of who God is.
He created you to know him and gave you his Word so that you can know him, John 17, verse 3.
Also, remember, Jesus taught in parables, and a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Parables are one of the ways Jesus taught us, and a parable is an earthly story.
A pictorial illustration using natural things that we understand on the earth
with a heavenly meaning. In the Bible, Jesus is called not only the good shepherd, but also the great
shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20.
So picture, if you will, a pasture, maybe in the Middle East. So you got a shepherd who's herding and leading his flock of sheep around the pasture. Get the picture of a shepherd leading his sheep in a pasture. Remember, this is not my illustration or any other man's. This is God's illustration in John 10.
As we can behold here in John 10 and elsewhere in Holy Scripture, the relationship between Jesus, the Savior, the great shepherd of the sheep, and his sheep are being taught or being portrayed so that we could see and understand a little bit better our relationship with the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, John 10, who came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly, John chapter 10, verse 10. In fact, in the very next verse, verse 11, Jesus said that he, the great shepherd of the sheep, came to give his life to save his sheep unto himself and his Father.
Our main text is John 10, 27 through 29.
And this is a passage that has been profusely misused by false teachers today. So beware and listen up, saints, so that we understand the context in which Jesus is speaking to us and what he is teaching and what he's not teaching.
So Jesus is the shepherd of his true sheep. And so we must ask, how do we know who those true sheep are? Also, we must ask the question, how do we know if we individually are truly his sheep? So Jesus says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. So how do we know if we're truly Jesus's sheep? So, hearing the voice of Jesus, where is Jesus' voice or his words recorded?
Where are they found today?
Where are they recorded? So we know from this first part of this passage that the sheep are identified. They're identified in that they hear the voice of God's word.
Keep in mind here, saints, that we have the voice of God recorded on record in Scripture, the Holy Scriptures. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how we got the Bible. 2 Peter 1, verses 19 through 20. So we do have the voice of God captured and collated and canonized in the King James Bible for the English-speaking peoples, just as God promised to preserve such in Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. Now, we should remember that
two chapters earlier, the Lord told us that he that is of God, that is his sheep, hears God's words. There's no such thing as a sheep of Christ who is not studying and walking out the voice of his word. So the voice of God's word is on record so that we can read it and hear his voice every day and walk with him. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the primary way that God's voice is heard by his sheep,
the primary way that God speaks to his people,
is through his word. Reading God's word is hearing God's voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So how do we know who the sheep of Jesus really are?
Here's how we know.
They're hearing his voice and walking with him. Jesus said in the same book of John that we would be led by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Jesus told us in John 16 that the Holy Spirit would lead us and would bring back to remembrance the Word of God.
That we have read and laid up in our hearts, John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Now, keep in mind that, regrettably,
many people today who claim to be led by the Spirit of God are not even in the Word of God, so they're not even hearing the voice of God. Remember, Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice. So Jesus tells us that only those that are hearing the voice of his word are actually his sheep.
Just
four chapters later, Jesus says, he that has my commandments, that is the voice of my word, and doeth them, he it is that loveth me.
John chapter 14, verse 21.
So Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus knows his own sheep who are identified as those who hear the voice of his word. They don't follow anyone else but him. They don't follow human reasoning or their own heart
or any other false shepherd. No, but instead
they follow the voice of the word of God,
which is the voice of the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ.
Many times today we hear the saying to trust or be led by your own heart. How many people have ever heard somebody tell another person, follow your heart? That's a lie from hell, because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Who can know it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9.
So Jesus came and died to save you so that you would be his and you would follow him.
And no one else. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. So be ye not the servants of men. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23. So the Lord saved us for his own glory.
And he gave us everything we needed in the word of God to follow him perfectly.
To hear his voice and walk with him daily.
And then Jesus said, concerning his true sheep that actually follow him, I give unto you eternal life, and they, his sheep, shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So notice that Jesus has given us a promise, but it's specifically and exclusively, and it's only for the sheep of his pasture, who are those who are hearing his voice
presently and
ongoing, perpetually. He knows them, and they are following Jesus. That's the conditions. So it's only those who are hearing Christ's voice presently, the voice of his word, and following him who are promised to be kept in his holy hand. Jesus said, after you're saved, you must abide or continue and remain in him and endure to the end to be with him eternally. After being saved, only those who abide or remain in Christ to the end will be kept by him and with him eternally.
It's absolutely a shame that so many who claim to be known of God, to be saved, want nothing to do with the responsibility, the conditions that Jesus gave us to remain in a vital union, abiding relationship with him. John 15, 1 through 6, etc. It seems clear that they want the crown, the heavenly crown, but not the cross. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow him, if I'm going to follow him, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. That's the only way to follow Jesus. It's through the crucified life. Luke 9, verse 23 and 24.
So in this portrait in John 10 of the great shepherd of the sheep and his sheep, we see, as we take a closer look, that Jesus identified exactly who his sheep were
and what his relationship to and with them is, and what relationship they have with him, and what the terms of agreement consist of. Remember, in any relationship between two parties, there are terms of agreement. And the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus, has given us these conditions. They are on record in God's word for us to see and adhere to, made clear. In this case, we must hear his voice and follow him presently and ongoing in order to be kept by him. That's a summation of John 10, 27 through 29. So, speaking of the sheep of his pasture, Jesus says that
they hear the voice of his word and they follow, they obey him ongoing. So the divine promise to be kept is a conditional promise requiring the individual recipient of the salvation of God to continue to hear his voice and follow him obediently. It's so important, saints, that we read this as a passage. There are many today who seek to separate our Lord's words in verse 27 from the promise given in verse 28 and 29.
And when you read that passage on your own, remember and notice there is a condition and there is a promise given to those who keep it, and only and exclusively to those who keep it, who abide, who walk with, who hear the voice of the great shepherd and continue, endure to the end, following him.
So the Lord saved you to be his and not your own, to hear his voice and to follow him. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith, that's your part, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
1 Peter
1:5. Before we pray, I want to encourage you again to read the Gospel of John, the seven portraits we see of Jesus Christ and his relationship to his people.
The seven I Am's of our Lord in the Gospel of John. We have a podcast on that, which you can find on safeguardyoursoul.com. The seven I Am's of Jesus in the Gospel of John.
Amen. Let us pray, saints. Father, I know you are holy and you require my faith to the end of my life. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for my sins. I am yours. I am purchased by your blood. I am not my own. I am yours. Please bless me to be led by the voice of your word all the days of my life. Lord, I know that as I get into your word, I'm going to hear your voice. I am crucified with Christ. Please do your work in and through my life, dear Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.